Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, Rookie of the Year awards were handed out, and I look at who could potentially win the award for the Dodgers in 2022, and then take on a couple questions from listeners. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers. I'm Vince Sampaio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. Being solo on today's episode, Jeff will be back in the next couple days with a potential guest. So I will be handling today's episode. Want to first make sure to thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every single weekday morning. We are free and available on all platforms. Just search Locked On Dodgers. One note, today's episode is dropping a little bit later. Had a little bit of technical difficulties, aka forgot my laptop charger somewhere and got it back. So we're good, ready to go, and we got a couple things on tap today. Nothing really big breaking news-wise in terms of the Dodgers. Rookie of the Year awards were announced. I'm going to talk a little bit about who could potentially win the award for the Dodgers next year. And then I'm going to take on a couple more questions from listeners that we still have banked up from a couple weeks ago. So that's what's on tap. That's what's coming. And let's hop right into it. National League Rookie of the Year was Jonathan India, the infielder from the Reds. Had a really good year, high OBP, good average, decent power. I mean, he was a really good guy, really good player, very deserving of the award. In the American League, interesting winner was Randy Arozarena, who I gotta imagine he's the most accomplished postseason player of all time to win Rookie of the Year. And a lot of people were making jokes referring to him as the Ben Simmons of baseball, because Ben Simmons won Rookie of the Year in his technically second year in the league, but he didn't even play didn't play first year, so technically he played second year. But hey, whatever. Two deserving winners, no real controversy there. But let's look ahead and see if there's anybody in the Dodgers' current farm system that could potentially win this award in 2022. The Dodgers have one of the more stronger histories with this award, winning, five in a row back in the 90s. They had Seager and Bellinger win recently, and Jock Peterson and Yasiel Puig finish up near the top. And they've had, a lot of good rookies over the years. But when you look right ahead to who could potentially help out the Dodgers in 2022, there's four names that stand out. However, I don't think any of those four names, they don't have a clear path right now, or they shouldn't have a clear path to being around in the big leagues long enough in order to really make an impact that could win them Rookie of the Year. But those four names are Ryan Pepiot, Michael Busch, Andre Jackson, and Bobby Miller, and with Miguel Vargas and Landon Knack as the two after that. The one right off the bat, Pepiot is probably number one in terms of the guy that can do it, with Michael Busch right under, just because they are a little bit of, not old, but older prospects. They could be counted on to be opening day guys in 2022, although I don't think the Dodgers would prefer that. I think the Dodgers would rather have a rotation in place that keeps Pepiot in the minors and a strong enough depth on the position player side to not have to start Michael Busch. However, it's very possible that one or both has a very strong spring, could push for time on the big league roster. However, I don't see it right now, although currently as the roster stands, Ryan Pepiot could fit. I would imagine they're going to add a couple more starting pitchers. But, there's also ways of, Corey Seager, came up late 2015, so 2016 the spot was already his. Cody Bellinger, a little bit different, came up second month of the season after an injury. Ended up never giving up the spot, and we all know what happened there with Adrian Gonzalez and all that kind of stuff, and Cody Bellinger had a really, really, really good rookie year. Now, this is where Pepiot and even Andre Jackson could kind of step in and take that role. is we know the Dodgers have had injury issues in the past, with especially with starting pitching. And while we don't know the entirety of the roster yet, right now there's three starting pitchers, and then David Price and Tony Gonsolin are also kind of there. You would imagine they're going to bring back at least one of Kershaw and Scherzer, more than likely Kershaw. Scherzer's still a possibility, but we're not, you know, 100% there. And you think that they might go after a couple, one, two other guys. Steven Matz was mentioned the other day as a possibility. You'd think the Dodgers want to go into 2022 with like 6, 7, 8 capable starting pitchers. Might get into a question about that later, actually. But Ryan Pepe, I mean, he would basically be one injury away from being in the big leagues, similar to Josiah Gray. He wasn't one injury away. He was three injuries away, but those injuries all happened. And Josiah Gray found himself in the major leagues. Andre Jackson found himself in the major leagues for the same reasoning. And that's really where it sits. But it would have to be an injury early in the year. For pitchers, it's a little bit tougher to make that much of an impact, especially coming up as a rookie. And if you're not, you know, Ryan Pepiot isn't a top 15 prospect in all of baseball. Now, if you're a top 15 prospect in all of baseball, you come up as a rookie, yeah, you might be expected to throw 6 innings every time out. But if Ryan Pepiot would come up in 2022, you know, the Dodgers would probably only need him or want him to go maybe 2 times through a lineup, 4 or 5 innings out every time, and then progress from there. So it would, the way the Dodgers handle pitching would hurt him a little bit in that aspect. And then pitchers in general have to be really generational to win this Rookie of the Year award, especially especially since there's usually position players that are playing every day that are, you know, have the stats and numbers that can back up warranting the award. When it comes to Michael Busch, now, as of right now, there's an opening at second base with Trey Turner technically in the shortstop position. You know, Gavin Lux, we would imagine, would slot in there if nothing else happens in the infield. But Gavin Lux hasn't shown the capability of being an everyday player in the major leagues yet. He's shown flashes. He really came up last year and showed that flash of what he could be, but he hasn't necessarily done it. Michael Busch can play second base. He's a guy that is known for hitting. He's not known for his defensive prowess. He's known for hitting. And if he gets a chance, that's what he's going to have to do, hit in the major leagues to stick. So if Michael Busch comes up and he hits, then obviously he's playing well enough to warrant Rookie of the Year consideration. And that's where I can see him winning the award. Although it would be tough because I got to think the Dodgers are going to bring back Seager. At this moment, you know, no signs indicate that Seager's leaving for sure. But if not, you know, Trey Turner at second, and then you would imagine Gavin Lux gets first crack at second base. Now, I'm not going to count on Gavin Lux, you know, not being good, so then I can't really place Michael Busch into a starting role. But we've seen it happen before. We saw Bellinger come in after an injury. We saw, I mean, even Lux came in after an injury late in 2019. So it's very possible, as we've seen with these Dodgers, they don't always stay healthy. And they end up using a lot more players than they probably think they would need to before the season starts. All right, so that's going to do it for this segment. I'm going to come back and answer some questions from you listeners. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Bet Online is back and better than ever. They got a brand new web interface that was ready for the start of the basketball season, and it's got more props, more odds, and more lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. And right now, if you head to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device, you can get a 50% welcome bonus after you sign up and make your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus at BetOnline. So go sign up today. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're back and want to thank you and remind you to make Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. We are free and available on all platforms. We are here every weekday morning, Monday through Friday. And you can even find us on YouTube if you want to see our faces. So make sure to subscribe today. And now let's get into it. We had a question on our Instagram from a very good listener, Billy Martinez. He asked a question about players in their final year of their contracts. He mentioned, you know, Price, Pollock, Turner, Trey Turner, Muncy, Trinan, Barnes, Kainley. All those guys are on the final year of the contract or have an option after that year. He says, do you see Friedman including any of the players in an offseason deal or a 2022 trade deadline deal? Who do I think or who do we think is most likely to be used in trade talks? Do we see any potential trade partners? And do you think any of these players are untouchable? So that's a good question. And got a lot of layers to it. So right off the bat, yeah, I mean, there's probably a couple guys on that list that the Dodgers wouldn't mind moving, or maybe just one, David Price. I don't imagine that they have plans for David Price to be an impactful player in 2022. You know, if David Price is an impactful player for the Dodgers in 2022, a lot went right with him or a lot went wrong with the Dodgers, and impact, the word impact would be loosely used, I would imagine. You know, David Price filled a role in 2021 and he filled it admirably, but, you know, he wasn't knocking down any doors. He wasn't on the postseason roster in the NLCS. He wasn't used. And yeah, that's just the nature of it. He wasn't as good and probably started getting a little gas toward the end of the year because he hadn't pitched that much in a long time. So if they can find a way to even send him away for half the salary, I got to imagine that's something they take a look at. You know, the Red Sox are already paying half of the 32 mil. The Dodgers are paying 16 of that mil. If they can get 8 million of that and then, you know, find somebody to take on 8 million, you know, David Price for 8 million isn't terrible. He could be a guy that gives you 20, 25 starts, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I can also see a way where, depending how this offseason goes for the Dodgers, where they say, you know what, thanks David Price, you know, for being here. Thanks for you know, sticking around and toughing it out. We're going to let you go and you can go find a team that'll let you play and they'll get you for very cheap and you don't have to worry about, you know, not being able to find a job because of money. So that's the David Price talk. In terms of the rest of the guys mentioned, you know, I can't see any of them really being traded. They're all guys that are integral to the Dodgers' success in 2022, other than A.J. Pollock. And A.J. Pollock is an interesting case. His value is probably higher than it's ever been after last year, maybe. A Gold Glove finalist, you know, there's a lot of ways that Dodgers can sell this. He had a really good year. He was a Gold Glove finalist. He hit in the postseason, you know, at least later on in the postseason. So, yeah, it's a guy that you can sell high on, but it's also a guy that you don't have a left fielder right now that would be able to step in. Now, if the Dodgers made some moves, you know, we talked about Starling Marte earlier in the year. You know, even a guy like Andrew McCutchen, I guess, if you're going to platoon, you know, if they get Andrew McCutchen and Jock Peterson to platoon in left field, then I can see A.J. Pollock becoming a little bit expendable. You know, A.J. Pollock's deal is very cheap, and for the production he's given, I know a team could be looking for something like that. I don't think it's going to happen. You know, like I said, unless the Dodgers go big and go for broke and get a legitimate starting left fielder or a two platoon left field. But yeah, I don't see it happening. But AJ Pollock is the only other one on that list that I could see being trade bait. Now, in the unlikely case that the Dodgers are just have a season from hell, I guess, for lack of a better term, and they're not good, they have injuries, whatever the case is, they haven't locked up Trey Turner, then I could see Trey Turner being maybe moved in a deadline deal. But that would be an absolute doomsday scenario where the Dodgers are like 15, 20 games out of first place, or if they're just so depleted from injuries that, you know, Andrew Friedman's like, you know what, we're probably not going to come back from this. We're probably not going to, you know, make the playoffs, or if we do, we're not guaranteed to have the best success in the playoffs. let me sell off a high asset and see what I can get for him. So I don't, like I said, I definitely don't expect that to happen, but that's the only other remote possibility I can see for one of those guys mentioned getting traded. Now, you know, any of the players untouchable? I mean, technically nobody's untouchable in the right move, but, you know, I can't see them moving Muncy or Justin Turner because those guys are going to be, you know, that's the first and third baseman on your starting lineup next year. And Justin Turner, you know, even if he's not good and the Dodgers end up, let's just say he's not good, Edwin Rios ends up becoming more of the third baseman, and Justin Turner, you know, maybe settles into a role of the Chase Utley, David Freese role, Albert Pujols role. You know, that's possible. I think Turner still be able to hit, but that's very possible. And, you know, even if that was the case, I don't see the Dodgers trading him. That wouldn't be fair to him. And, again, a doomsday scenario, Dodgers aren't making playoffs. Justin Turner's like, hey, I don't have that many years left. I'd like to go to contender, I guess. But I mention it because it's possible, but I don't think it's very likely at all. And then Trinan and Kainley, well, no, Trinan's, as of right now, the Dodgers closer heading into the year. So he would have some value, again, in that scenario where the Dodgers are looking to be sellers. Tommy Kainley, we have no idea what he's going to be like next year, but you would imagine that he's going to be a cog in that Dodgers bullpen as well. Again, could the Dodgers trade him? Yes, but is it likely? No, because that means they're not good. And then, yeah, I mean, Austin Barnes, I guess, he hasn't really shown value at the backup position. So there was years in the past where Barnes had high value because he had been really good in that backup role or in that role. You know, even after the 2020 World Series, you could have seen them selling high on Austin Barnes, and Will Smith and Kiebert could have been the catchers last year, and they would have had to make a decision if Kiebert had been good, and then that trade that they made for Turner and Scherzer. But this is not the year that Austin Barnes has the value, unless there's a team out there that has like a stud catcher like the Dodgers do, and they just need a guy that can handle the rotation. They don't care about offense at all. They just need you to handle the pitching staff. And from what we've seen, Austin Barnes can handle a pitching staff. All the pitchers seem to love to pitch to him. And, you know, there is value in that, but not a lot of value. And the Dodgers don't have anyone to come up right away. They would have to sign somebody, a free agent, in order to make Barnes expendable. And at this point, I think they're comfortable with Barnes. They gave him that extension before last season for a reason. They know what he brings. It's not a lot offensively, and it's good enough defensively, or at least maybe not defensively, but pitching staff wise, he brings a lot. He leaves a lot to be desired in the throwing department behind the plate. He's a pretty decent framer, I would imagine. I don't know how the numbers shook out last year. And, yeah, he's a solid backup catcher if you don't care about offense. And there's a lot of – there's that's a role in the major leagues, and that's why Austin Barnes has that role. So, yeah, that's a good question. Had a lot of layers to it. But, like I said, unless the Dodgers are selling because they've punted the season – I can't see anybody being expendable. Before this season, AJ Pollock, David Price, somewhat expendable. David Price, a lot expendable. AJ Pollock may be expendable. So, long answer short right there. All right, going to come back and answer a couple more questions from listeners. So, make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, back. And want to thank you and give my appreciation for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every single weekday morning. I know this morning maybe wasn't your first listen because we're a little later. But regardless, normally make Locked On Dodgers your first listen every morning. We appreciate it. And you can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube. Just search Locked On Dodgers. All right. Let's take a question from our pal Pat Dwyer at The Real PJ Dwyer. He says, do the Dodgers trade Matt Beaty? And does he request a la Kyle Farmer? Second part of his question, which we've kind of cleared up since then, is does Mookie have off-season hip surgery? In that article the other day, it made it seem like Mookie will not need off-season hip surgery, so that answers that. When it comes to Matt Beaty, Yeah, it's an interesting question because as we saw last year, you know, I think Matt Beatty, he's not going to go right out and say it, but I don't think Matt Beatty is happy with his role with the Dodgers. And that's not me putting words in my mouth. That's just me saying if that was my role with the Dodgers, I wouldn't be happy because he doesn't really have a role. He doesn't have a defined role. You know, Roberts tries to say that the defined role is finding him an at-bat late in the game where he can come in and do damage. But there was times where that was on the table and he didn't come in to bat. So he doesn't have that defined role. I guess technically he's a backup first baseman and backup outfielder. It was made clear last year that they don't value him on defense kind of at all. Because of the role they're making him, because when they needed somebody that could, you know, put the bat on the ball, there was ways to move guys around to get Matt Beatty into your lineup that wouldn't have messed up too many people, and they didn't do it. And you know that shows a lot right there. With guys like Edwin Rios coming back, with you would imagine maybe they try to improve the bench. You know, the writing on the wall might be there for Matt Beatty. It might be one of those where they find them, you know what, we respect you, you know, we don't want to leave you in limbo for another season. We think you can play more, just not for us, and yeah, we'll find you a spot. And it's very possible that he could do that and flourish somewhere. We've seen it happen, like Kyle Farmer, like you know, mentioned by PJ Dwyer. He went and he probably would have never played shortstop for the Dodgers, and he was the Reds starting shortstop last year and did pretty good at, you know, I don't remember what his overall season numbers were, but at one point he was really good coming out of the second half. He beat the Dodgers in one game, that one series, and did pretty well against them that one series. So, I mean, we've even seen guys like Scott Schebler move on, hit 30 home runs in a year, didn't do much else, but he hit 30 home runs in a year. You know, DJ Peters moved on to the Rangers, hit a decent amount of home runs in the time he was there. Didn't do much else on offense other than hit home runs. But he has a lot of defensive value, so, you know, he was always going to find a spot. Where Matt Beatty has a little bit more offensive value. Now, if the universal DH is a thing, you know, maybe Matt Beatty becomes a little more valuable to the Dodgers. There is a role they can technically stick him in. But I don't know, man. I just feel like it's one of those where, you know, a mutual separation might be best. You know, I like Matt Beatty. Obviously, we had him on the show a while back. And, you know, I think he can contribute to the Dodgers. But it's also coming to that time where, you know, who knows how long he has left in baseball. And he's got to be able to show some value in order to prolong that career in baseball. And it's hard to show value when you're not batting that often or you're not playing that often. So, do I think it happens? Yes. But, you know, the Dodgers are not going to just give away talent for the sake of giving away talent. That would mean that they've already brought on other talent or they think highly of talent coming up through the pipeline. So that's where that would sit. And yeah, that's what I feel. All right, let's get into one more question. We got time for one more question. So we'll take one from Jackie at Dodger Wave. How does upcoming CBA talk / potential season lockout affect the free agency market? Now, this is interesting because heading into the offseason, I would have answered one way. And now from some of the reports we're getting right now, it's kind of working the other way. And, you know, the short answer is I have no idea. I don't think teams have any idea. Agents might have some idea. I guess teams might have some idea, but I don't have any idea because heading into it, I would have said none of the big guys are signing before December 1st because you don't know. Now that unknown can go both ways. You don't know what's going to happen on the other side of those CBA talks. You would imagine, you know, as a player, you're counting on your union to make it better for players. So you want to wait. You know, the grass on the other side looks greener. You want to wait. You're like, oh, yeah, the union, we're going to get, you know, it's going to be better for players, so I'm going to wait and sign my deal after. But as we've seen in other leagues and in baseball before, the owners typically win out. And if the owners typically win out, that makes it, quote unquote, slightly worse for position play or for players, not just position players, for players. And that's kind of where it's sitting right now. The thing is, there's some guys that transcend what, or there's some guys that don't matter. You know, Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, the difference might come down to a few million dollars, depending if they sign before or after. They're going to get their money regardless. Guys in that next tier, Javi Baez, Trevor Story, you know, it might behoove them to sign now because who knows what's going to happen. There's a lot of stuff that can happen. You know, I don't think this is going to happen, but like a salary floor would help a lot of those third, fourth tier free agents because teams will have to spend. It'll help some of those top tier free agents because maybe teams like the Rays would just be like, you know what, we already have our system in place. We don't need to spend, you know, we can spend this $60 million or whatever we need to spend for a salary floor. We can spend that on two players and you know, call it a day. So there's a lot of different ways this can go about it. I personally, you know, originally thought nobody big signing before December 1st. From what we've heard, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager have been said to possibly be signing before December 1st. And we've seen, you know, the Dodgers sign Andrew Heaney. There's been a couple small deals. Jose Berrios just signed an extension this morning with the Blue Jays. Looks like Noah Syndergaard might sign with the Angels. But, you know, those guys, Berrios had one more year left anyways, so that didn't really matter. And Syndergaard has $18 million waiting for him if he doesn't sign with the team, if he wanted to agree to the Mets qualifying offer. So that don't really apply. Yeah, but I expect there to be a lot of talk here in the next 2 weeks. I don't expect there to be a lot of deals done. And then I expect probably talks to go into February. And then it might be a fun time in baseball, similar to the NBA and NFL, where once that deal signed in February, everybody's signing within a week. And we're getting so-and-so sign here, so-and-so sign here, so-and-so sign here, so-and-so sign here. And we're getting like NBA / NFL type free agency, which would be fun for baseball. It would suck that it came on the back end of probably some ugly labor negotiations. But it would be a fun week for baseball if that was the case. So I know this answer probably didn't help because I don't really have an answer. But that's kind of the two scenarios and the two you know, sides to the coin of waiting and not waiting. But I personally don't think there's going to be a lot of deals that happen. I think a majority of the free agents are going to sign after. And we might have a flurry whenever that happens. And I'm ready for that. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every morning. For your second listen, check out Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Found wherever you get podcasts. We are Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. You can follow me at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts. Other ways to get a hold of us, you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. Or you can send us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Here's my device, play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.